Welcome back in. This is Matt Harrop here on SB Nation Radio. And now joining us to talk about the Masters, what a Masters it was, is Trevor Reese, golf writer for SB Nation. You can follow Trevor on Twitter at Trevor Reese. That's R-E-A-S-K-E. Okay, Trevor, I want to go to something that you retweeted, literally right on your Twitter page. It says that Patrick Reed, the winner of the Masters today in his press conference, says that he kept track of all of the analysts that picked Rory this morning to actually win. How much do you think that had an effect on just his performance? Like, take us inside a golfer's mind. When you see an analyst on TV go against you, do you think that really pushed him today?
It must have, because it obviously, whatever Rory was thinking, it had the opposite effect. Patrick Reed's always kind of thrived on the big moment. I mean, 2 years ago at the Ryder Cup, they put him out there against Rory McIlroy in a singles match on Sunday that the U.S. needed to have to get off to a good start, and he loved every second of it, playing up to the crowd, making bombs of putts, making ridiculous shots all over the golf course. He thrives on that kind of moment. This is the same guy that a few years back declared himself one of the top five players in the world when at that point no one had really heard of him. So I would imagine in Patrick Reed's head, seeing all those people last night thinking that Rory McIlroy was going to run him down, or even some of the other guys that were even further down the leaderboard might have a chance to catch him because he hadn't been in that position before, had to have motivated him a ton. And, he didn't do anything too spectacular today, but he avoided the big number. He got some lucky breaks, and he's the Masters champion.
Yeah, he was just solid all the way around. Where was he particularly good? I didn't watch every round, every one of his swings, but where was he particularly good today and just over the course of the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, like I just said, I mean, he limited the damage. I mean, he didn't put up any big numbers. I'll just look at all the score criteria. He didn't double bogey anything, which, most of the golfers in the field did this week. That's pretty good. Yesterday, spectacular down the stretch. He had eagles at 13 and 15, which kind of put him into the position that he was in heading into the final round. You know, he was good at bouncing back. You know, he started off today with a bogey. McIlroy was right there at the beginning, and it looked like, okay, maybe what everyone was talking about last night is actually going to happen pretty quickly here, and McIlroy is going to overtake him. He ended up birdieing three, made a bogey on six, bounced right back with a birdie on seven. He caught some lucky breaks. You know, there was one pitch shot where he was trying to get up and down. The ball was going to be screaming past the hole. It hit the flagstick or the back of the cup, and he was able to make the putt after that. So he got some breaks like that. He played solid. Shot 71. It's only one under par. He benefited, too, from Rory McIlroy just really not showing up today.
Yeah.
And for guys like Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler, they're just a little bit too far behind in order to catch him, and he did what he had to do to win.
Trevor Reese is our guest golf writer for SB Nation. You can follow Trevor on Twitter at Trevor Reese. That's R-E-A-S-K-E. Okay, so do you think the success and the competition of the match play tournament a couple of weeks ago, do you think that kind of woke up Reed's competing spirit as he rolled into this week?
Yeah, I mean, he loves that kind of stuff. Like we were just talking about with the Ryder Cup a few years ago and the match play. Golf's not really a one-on-one game. It's more of just you versus the course, and I think that's the best way to kind of look at it if you're playing golf at a high level. But obviously, Patrick Reed was taking notice. It was him versus Rory McIlroy today, and anything that Rory did early on there before he kind of faded away, Patrick Reed had an answer for it. So I haven't seen a quote about this, but I would imagine that he was kind of picturing it as a match play scenario. And you got McIlroy, who for me is probably the most talented golfer in the world. So to have someone playing, trying to chase you down, playing right beside you all day long, that's got to be helpful for a guy like Patrick Reed, who thrives on momentum and adrenaline and stuff like that. So obviously it worked out well for him.
Touch on Jordan Spieth's day. What, he shoot a 64 or 63? I think it was a 64 that he shot today.
64, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how impressive is that? Just put that in perspective for people in terms of the history of the course and just talk about the course and just how difficult that is to actually do.
Yeah, I mean, Augusta National is a place where you have to be just so precise. I mean, you saw it all weekend. you know, let's say a shot is 100 yards. If you hit it 99 yards, a lot of times that ball is going to roll off the green. Or if you hit it 101 yards, it's going to go off the back. You have to hit your right spots. And if you are going to miss shots, you have to miss it in the right place. Jordan Spieth knows that better than anybody else. You know, I used to think that Tiger Woods could just roll up there and shoot an under par round at the Masters without even really thinking about it. Obviously, that's not true so much anymore. Jordan Spieth is that guy. He's played somewhere around, competed against around 500 golfers or so in the Masters. He's only been beat by, you know, a dozen of them. Over the course of his five Masters, he's got that place figured out, and it doesn't matter what he's doing the week before or the months before, he's going to show up at Augusta. It's really, truly unbelievable. The 64, you know, really bad break there on 18, could have been a 63, yeah. Maybe even a 62 if he had hit the fairway and would have put a little bit more pressure on Reed. He clips a tree branch, and it drops, his tee shot drops straight down, so really no shot to get to the green, and that kind of ended his rally. But still, making all the birdies that he did today on some really tough golf holes was spectacular to watch. And for it kind of got off to a slow start with a lot of the things that were happening this afternoon, but boy, did it catch up in a hurry with Spieth making that run and Fowler making a run. It was awesome.
Yeah, it just makes you think if Spieth just had a better round, either one, two, or three, what could have possibly happened? Was there any point over the course of today that you actually thought Spieth really did have a shot to win this thing?
Yeah, I mean, when he birdied 13, and then you know he's got another reachable par 5 coming up, that's when he thought maybe he could do so here. And Reed was behind him on the golf course. You know, maybe Reed, he was going through the toughest stretch of the golf course, which is Amen Corner, 11, 12, 10, 11, 12, that area. You know, so maybe he was going to drop a shot or two, and all of a sudden they're going to be right there with each other. He did go on to birdie 15, hit a great tee shot at 16, and made the putt. Of course, 16 is the hole where so much magic has happened. You know, Jack in 86 and Tiger in 2005. It's like that moment, that Masters moment, seems to happen on 16, and Jordan made that putt, and then I was all on board after that. You know, I figured Reed would do something stupid, or we were going to at least have a playoff. But you know, like, he hits that tree on 18, and really, you know, the rally ended there, but it was pretty special to watch.
No, it definitely was. Trevor Rieske, our guest, golf writer for SB Nation. You can follow Trevor on Twitter at Trevor Rieske, R-E-A-S-K-E. All right, you touched on Ricky Fowler. He's had tremendous master success. What is it about his skill set and that course that do you think makes it easy, not easy, but just makes him a success at Augusta?
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people talk about how good of a putter Ricky Fowler is. He makes it look easy at times, and
he really does.
You can see that coming down. And then he's got the demeanor to do well in a place like Augusta National. You never see him get too high or too low. It's a golf course that'll humble people. I don't know if you watched any of John Rahm today, but he let it affect him where he was flipping out when he hit a bad shot. You'll never see that out of Ricky Fowler. Mm. And he was rolling his rock on the back nine, and it looked like he had a chance too. A big, big-time birdie on 18 to really put the pressure on Reed. You know, if Reed had missed his tee shot or a little bit left on 18, you know, we'd be talking maybe about Ricky Fowler being the Masters champion. So he really put the heat on, and I think it's his putting, and he's going to get one of these eventually. I mean, he's too talented not to. It just unfortunately for him, it was just a little bit too little, too late today.
Trevor, do you think that? I mean, I was doing a lot of reading and watching Tuesday and Wednesday leading into the Masters, and he didn't seem to be a popular pick amongst the golf analysts. Is it fair to say that Ricky Fowler is one of the more underrated golfers that we have today?
Yeah, I mean, especially this week too. I think he just kind of got lost in the hype of, oh, Tiger's coming back and Phil Mickelson's playing great, and you know, Jordan Spieth always plays well here. You got McIlroy going for the career Grand Slam. You know, you got other young guys like John Rahm, who shouldn't play well. You got Bubba Watson playing well, who's won the Masters twice. And then Tony Finau, you know, dislocates his ankle and he becomes a story. So it's kind of easy to forget about a guy like Fowler, who's been so consistent over the years. And yeah, I mean, it was cool to see, and you know, unfortunately, it was just a little bit too far back.
Trevor Reisk, our guest, golf writer for SB Nation. You can follow Trevor on Twitter at Trevor Reisk. That's R-E-A-S-K-E. All right, you touched on Phil Mickelson and Tiger there. So Mickelson ties for 36. Tiger doing very well at the very beginning of this tournament. And I think I read a number that ratings were up 40% or something like that through Friday. How important do you think is it still for Phil Mickelson and Tiger to be successful in these big tournaments when it comes to the ratings and watchability?
Yeah, it's still huge. I mean, look, you golf fans can talk about the young guys like a Justin Thomas and a you know, Rory McIlroy and all those guys, but the casual sports fan is going to tune in for one guy, and that's probably Tiger Woods. Mm-hmm. Maybe Phil Mickelson. He still moves the needle. He pretty much still is the needle in general. He's the most exciting guy to watch when he's playing well. And now I think there's the added element of you want to see, can he complete this amazing comeback, really? I mean, 6 months ago, Tiger Woods was sitting on his couch, didn't know if he was ever going to play the game of golf again. So you add that to the fact that he's probably the most popular golfer of all time. And yeah, the tour still needs him. I don't know how they figure it out moving forward for when, you know, he's no longer out there. But with as healthy as he looked and the clubhead speed that he had, there's no reason to think that there's not several more years left in the tank for Tiger. And Phil is just a marvel. I mean, I don't know how he does it. He's not really the gym guy that Tiger is, and different style, and but he's still out there doing it as well. And just give it a couple more weeks, and the hype is going to start building for the U.S. Open for Phil Mickelson to try to get that career grand slam.
So you said a few more years. I'm going to put you on the spot. Make a prediction, because Tiger had three top 12 finishes last year, and he climbed his way before the spinal fusion surgery. I think he was like close to 2,000th ranked. Now he was 103rd in the rankings coming into the Masters. How many more years could we really realistically expect Tiger to be competing at this level?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be 88th in the world rankings come tomorrow, too. So, you know, I could see, look, Tiger's always been a freak. Physically, he's been a different guy than most of the golfers he's played against. I could see him winning tournaments at age 50, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, think about this. Tom Watson almost won the British Open in his late 50s. If you're telling me Tiger Woods can't do that, you know, maybe he does it when he's 55. He could still be competing in a place like that. So I think generally competing and top tens and things like that, at least 5 or 6 more years. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he's doing it when he's 50, 51, 52.
Trevor Reisk has been our guest, golf writer for SB Nation. Watch the Masters all 4 days. I watched today. Trevor, you can follow him on Twitter, at Trevor Reisk, R-E-A-S-K-E. Thanks for the time, Trevor. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
We're back after this on SB Nation Radio.